episode 3 of the Worthwhile Podcast, a Christ-centered podcast to provide encouragement, practical guidance, and spiritual perspective to your ministry, leadership, and life. Each week I talk about important application issues for personal development, healthy relationships, entrepreneurship, ministry tools, and ultimately, leading a worthwhile life. Because nothing worthwhile is ever easy, but finding a great podcast about it should be. Hi, I'm Pastor John. Thank you for tuning in to the Worthwhile Podcast. We believe that you are worthwhile and that your life matters. And that's what this podcast is all about. We promise to keep this podcast commercial-free and 100% listener-supported. So if you'd like to join our partners, please visit patreon.com/theworthwhilepodcast and join us at any level that feels right to you. You'll get a personal thank you from me, Pastor John, and you'll win some nice gifts and cool swag along the way. Again, visit patreon.com/theworthwhilepodcast. And thanks in advance. Before I get into the content for today's episode, I've got two exciting things that I'm ready to share with you. First of all, thank you to all of you who became early patrons of this podcast to help make it possible. I've got the first release of gifts to all of our patrons who have been supporting us through patreon.com, the link mentioned earlier, and all that's going out this week. For those of you who would like to join them, there's still time. Go to the Patreon link mentioned at the beginning of this episode, and I will make sure to get your gift out ASAP. Secondly, I'm really excited to be hosting a few upcoming interviews for this podcast. The first one is going to be with my wife, Tiffany Markham. And while I know that may seem like a cop-out to some, it was very intentional for me to bring her into this podcast early. You see, there are not a lot of things about me, just to be entirely honest, that I would not consider to be particularly extraordinary, but my marriage is one definite exception. My wife and I have been married for 16 years. We have 4 beautiful, crazy children. We've relocated to 4 different states together, and we are still absolutely, positively crazy in love with each other. Together, we've mentored and counseled several dozens of other couples, marriages, dating, and have done the pre-marriage counseling to prepare many couples for marriage, for a happy, healthy, strong marriage. And we want to offer some of our combined experience to your marriage, or future marriage, as the case may be. And that is going to be next week here on the Worthwhile Podcast. So I hope that you'll be looking forward to that. Today, however, we're going to begin talking about a subject that every single one of you are dealing with right now, have dealt with before, and will probably be dealing with again in the near future. And that is difficult people. We all have to deal with difficult people. We all find somebody that we have to live with, work with, interact with, difficult from time to time. And this is a constant theme for most of our lives in some capacity. You can't escape it. Difficult people are everywhere. And if you're having a hard time identifying anybody difficult in your life, chances are they've identified you as someone who is difficult. And so I want to help you and all of our listeners to deal with difficult people in a way that is healthy, productive, and not as frustrating as it could be. And so here's just a few basic premises that I want to start with today's episode. And that's, first of all, everyone is difficult sometimes, including you, including me. I can be very difficult, and some people in my life listening to this right now are going to agree with that a little bit too much. So first of all, first premise is that everyone is difficult sometimes. The second premise is that some people are difficult all the time. And I affectionately refer to these people as EGRs, extra grace required. As I kind of said at the beginning, if you probably thought of somebody immediately, their name popped up in your head, you saw a picture of them in your mind, and you're like, yes, that person is an EGR for me. They require a lot of extra grace. And if someone did not pop into your mind, then more than likely you popped into someone else's mind. So everyone is difficult sometimes, but some people are difficult all the time, or almost all the time. I'm maybe exaggerating or embellishing a little bit, but you get the idea. Often, we don't have a choice but to deal with difficult people. You're related to them, you live with them, you're stuck with them as a roommate, you work with them, you get the idea. You can't escape them. They are just a part of your life. A fourth premise is that difficult people take a lot of different forms. There are a lot of different ways that people can be difficult, as you can imagine. There's the critic. No matter what you do, it's not good enough. They got something to criticize, something to critique, something to offer feedback, and they probably see themselves as being helpful, but you know that they're not. They're just being critical, and it comes across as being very difficult. There's also the skeptics. So any idea you have, or job prospect, or your major, they're going to say, well, that's not a good idea, or I don't think that's going to... They always see the downside. They always see the ways that it's not going to work out. Then there's just the hectic. They're not necessarily critics of your life. They're not necessarily skeptical of your dreams or what you want to do. They just make everything they touch chaotic. They bring chaos to everything they do. And so difficult people take a lot of different forms. A fifth thing that I want to kind of give as a premise, there is a difference between difficult and toxic. Toxic people, kind of a buzzword in self-care and mental health, emotional health these days. And we like to label everybody who makes us uncomfortable as toxic. They're toxic. Well, there's a difference between someone who's difficult and someone who's toxic. And I want to just give you the difference real quick, because it's kind of important for understanding this episode. Difficult people may annoy us, but toxic people abuse us. I'm going to say that again. Difficult people annoy us, but toxic people abuse us. That's a big, big difference. Difficult people may say hurtful things to us, but toxic people will say hurtful things about us. They will campaign against us. They will raise people up against us. A difficult person could still be our friend. You can still have a relationship and be friends with a difficult person. But a toxic person is always a bully and not a friend of yours, and we'll get more into that in a second. A difficult person makes us, let me rephrase that, a difficult person makes life uncomfortable, but a toxic person makes life unbearable with them. Difficult people have to be managed, but toxic people have to be removed. And that's a really key difference in this conversation today about understanding how to deal with difficult people. Now, there's a difference between being difficult and being toxic. And so it's important to understand that. And just as kind of a preface towards the toxic people thing, Jesus commanded us to love our enemies and to bless those who curse us. And so there's a way that we're supposed to relate to people who are aligned against us, who are poisonous, who are toxic. But this command also asserts that we have enemies in the first place. And so that's something that we don't like to talk about, is that we don't generally think about the fact that we actually do have people who are out to hurt us, who we would think of as toxic people. And yes, Jesus commands us to love them, but it also requires us to identify them as a premise to that. And so just wanted to kind of give some thoughts on that before we got into some of the content. But one of the things, we're just going to get into it with some keys for dealing with difficult people. Again, not specifically talking about toxic people. Maybe that's another episode in the future, but dealing with difficult people, people who annoy us, who make life uncomfortable, who we see them come like, oh, you know, and I think as Pastor Perry Noble said one time, they're kind of the people that come to the family reunion, and when you see them coming and walking up towards you, your first thought is, oh, great, pack your bags. Why? Because we're about to go on a guilt trip. They're going to start saying stuff to make life uncomfortable for us. And so how do we deal with difficult people? I got a handful of things I want to give you as some guidance. First of all, set proper expectations. Set proper expectations for them as well as for yourself. What kind of expectations should I set for difficult people and for myself in dealing with difficult people? First of all, I'm going to expect to expend more emotionally from them. I'm going to expect to expend from my emotional energy. They're not going to make deposits into my emotional bank. They're going to make withdrawals. And I'm going to come into this conversation. Every time I have to deal with them, I'm going to approach that with that understanding that this is not going to benefit me as much as I'm going to hopefully benefit them. This is not a lot of people, let me just put it this way. A lot of people, hopefully in a healthy friendship, there's a mutual benefit that having them in your life and them having you in your life means that both of you feel better together. We're you know, there's a synergy. The sum total of our relationship is greater than we are individually. That there's a mutual exchange of emotional energy in a way that we both feel good walking away from each other. In an unhealthy relationship or in a relationship with a difficult person, that ebb and flow is more one-sided. And so when I'm approaching a difficult person, when I'm dealing with a difficult person, I have a proper expectation that this is going to cost me something emotionally. And therefore, I'm making a conscious choice to participate anyway. And that is a way of showing love. I know this is going to cost me something emotionally, but I'm going to be there for you anyway. That's one expectation. Another expectation that you should set is I'm going to expect little from you emotionally. It's kind of the same thing, but I want to make sure this is kind of clear. This is going to expend energy on my part. I'm not expecting to get a lot back from you in terms of the emotional relational benefits in this conversation, and I'm going to decide in advance that that's going to be okay. Which brings me to a third expectation. I'm going to choose to be gracious. It may seem a little bit, hurtful maybe to think of someone as an EGR, an extra grace required, but I like it because it reminds me that I'm supposed to be gracious to the people who are difficult in my life. Whether that's your employer, your coworker, your spouse at times, your children for sure, all the parents said, amen. We are required to be gracious. What does love require of us as we deal with people? And so I'm going to choose to be gracious. I'm going to set up an expectation for myself when I know that I'm about to deal with a difficult person. I'm going to choose grace. I'm going to choose to be gracious towards them. And a fourth expectation that I'm going to set for myself when I'm dealing with difficult people, when I know that I have a difficult person I have to deal with, is that I realize that I'm going to have to forgive often and early. I'm going to have to forgive often and early. Why? Because I know that they're going to take emotional withdrawals out of my heart, out of my tank, out of my energy, and I can have a temptation to get bitter towards them as a result of that. Instead of doing that, I'm going to decide to forgive them. I'm going to do so often. I'm going to have to do so early. Why? Because if I hold on to bitterness, they don't get worse. I get worse. And it hurts me, and I'm going to choose to do the right thing for their benefit as well as for my own benefit. So first important key to dealing with difficult people is to set proper expectations, expectations for them and expectations for ourselves. A second major key to dealing with difficult people is to set reasonable boundaries. To set reasonable boundaries. Look, just because they're a difficult person, just because you have to do life with them or work or whatever, doesn't mean that they have free access and unlimited control of your time, energy, and emotions. So we have to set proper boundaries. And these, depending on the nature of the relationship with the person, these are boundaries that sometimes you have to express to them, and sometimes these are boundaries that you just kind of keep in mind as you're dealing with them. If they're your children, you may not express every boundary to them. If they are your boss, maybe you do express some boundaries. You know, I work for you 40, 50, 60 hours a week, Monday through Friday. I am not answering emails on the weekend. If it's an emergency, call me, but I'm not responding to emails until Monday. Maybe an example of a boundary. Now, depending on the job you're in, maybe that's not a reasonable boundary for you to set, but you get the idea. So here's some ideas of some boundaries that they set. Limit time commitments. When I know that I have to deal with a difficult person, one of the things that I'll say is, hey, I've got about 1 hour that I can help you. Or I've got about 15 minutes that we can talk. And I'm clearly expressing right up front. And I could say, I don't want to talk to you right now. And that would be an unloving thing to do, an ungracious thing to do. But instead, by giving them an upfront, hey, I've only got about 30 minutes of time now. I've got things I've got to do. Because what happens a lot of times with difficult people is that they will expect your time without being considerate of your time. And so sometimes you have to express that right up front. Like, hey, I know this is important, and I want to give you some time, but I've only got about 10 minutes right now. So if you can tell me in 10 minutes, or if we can talk about it in 10 minutes, or if this is a longer conversation, let's get together for coffee sometime. Or let's find a way at some other point in time to talk about this at more length. Limit emotional investments. Again, this kind of goes back to the expectations about understanding that they're going to make emotional withdrawals, but you have to also limit some of the emotional investment that you make sometimes with difficult people. And so you're going to decide, I'm not going to get overly emotionally invested in this person because that's not a burden that they can manage. Limit resources expended. Sometimes difficult people take the shape of people who are constantly needing something from you. And I'm not talking about your kids. Be a good parent, take care of your kids. But I'm talking about in the sense of they're always wondering, hey, can you borrow a little money? Can you borrow money? Well, you never paid me back for the last $20 you borrowed. And so you're going to make a decision. I'm not going to let you take advantage of me. And I'm not going to constantly just be a place or a person or a resource for you to, you know, get extra money or things whenever you want to. Maybe another boundary that you set, depending on the nature of the difficult people you're dealing with, is that you limit the subject or the nature of your conversations. So you decide there's some things that are off limits that I'm not talking with you about. There are some things that you just don't share with some people. I don't go to my single friends, as much as I love them, I don't go to my single friends to ask them for marriage advice. I go to some of my married friends, other men, and you know, sometimes I'll say, hey, I'm struggling with this, or my wife and I don't see eye to eye on something, and I will lean on them for wisdom, but I don't generally go to people who've never been married and never had to work through the difficulties of a marriage for advice on my marriage, and I don't think that it's sincere to expect that from them. And when other people try to dig into those kinds of areas of my life that I don't feel comfortable sharing, or that I feel like is a breach of the boundaries that I need to set with them, I don't let them talk about it, or I choose not to respond. So those are some boundaries that need to be set. So how do we deal with difficult people? Number one, we set proper expectations. Number two, we set reasonable boundaries. Number three, we decide how and when to address grievances. Occasionally, you've got to have an awkward conversation with somebody. You have to bring up things that need to be talked about. You need to say, hey, listen, I said that I only have this kind of time to deal with this thing or to talk about this, and you consistently are taking advantage of my time. And I just need you to know that if you're my friend, because difficult people can be your friend still, then you know, these are the things that I can and can't do. Or when you say that to me, it hurts. You know, maybe you've been putting up with it for a while and just trying to cover it with grace and not get hurt by it, but they continue to say hurtful things. Sometimes it's silly things that just grate on you and you need to say something. I know people who, you know, grew up with a cousin or a sibling, and when they were growing up, they had a nickname for their little sister or little brother or cousin or whatever, and when they became adults, they didn't like being called that nickname anymore. They felt like it was condescending, and so, but they would always call them that, so finally they'd say, hey, I don't like it when you call me that. It feels like you're putting me down. I'm 33 years old, for crying out loud. I've got a family of my own. Show me some respect. Like, oh, I had no idea. And so sometimes you have to address grievances. So decide how and when you're going to address problems with that person. Sometimes it just is a situation where you decide you're going to forgive them often and early, and you're not going to make a thing about it. You're not going to address it at all. But if you're not going to address it, you have to forgive it. You have to be able to move on with it. And if you can't do that, then yes, you should address it. And that's kind of the paradigm there. Not every single grievance needs to be expressed, but it does need to be expressed if you feel like, I can't get past this until I talk to them about it. If you can get past it without causing a conflict, then absolutely do that. But I will say this, one of my values in leadership is that we run towards conflict. I talked about this last week in our Rules for Success episode. And we run towards conflict. Not that we create conflict, there's a difference. We don't seek to create conflict, but when conflict arises, we don't run away from it, we run towards it. Why? Because we want a cleared up culture. It is exhausting holding on to burdens. It's exhausting holding on to grievances. What it really is unforgiveness, and unforgiveness becomes a root of bitterness that tears us apart from the inside out. And so if it's not something we can just take a deep breath and forgive them in the moment and move on with, if it's something that especially has been accumulating, then eventually you have to say something to them. You have to have an awkward conversation. So decide how and when you're going to address any grievances with them that need to be addressed. And then last of all, so just kind of walk through these four keys for dealing with difficult people. Set proper expectations for them and yourself. Set reasonable boundaries. Number three, decide how and when to address grievances. And number four, and the last one of all, don't underestimate their value. Don't underestimate their value. And if you've been kind of glossing through this episode so far, I hope you'll lean in and listen to this last one. I feel like this is where, if you take notes or whatever, and you find episode notes on my website, johnmarkham.org. But I just want to reiterate this one really well, because this one I think might be the most important point that I give you today. Don't underestimate their value. It may be hard to believe or hard to see, but difficult people have immense value. Difficult people can surprise you. I remember being in high school, and everybody's difficult in high school, just so we're clear. If you're in high school and you're like, oh, the people in my life are so difficult, I've got some really bad news for you. They all feel the same way about you too. And that's not to be mean, I'm just trying to let you know, everybody in high school is annoying to anyone not in high school. But what I'm trying to say is that when I was in high school, and people who I perceived as difficult at the time were some of the people who were there for me the most when I needed it the most. Don't underestimate their value. I was 18 and suicidal at one point, and some of the most unlikely people who I would have considered marginal friends to some extent were the ones who were there for me the most in my difficulty. The people who I thought were my best friends, I'm not even trying to be critical of them or mean or criticize, but I felt a need to not share certain details with them because, I don't know, maybe because I was too close to them. I'm not actually sure. It was high school. Nobody knows what was going on. But the people that I, the thing I do know for sure though is that the people who were who I perceived as difficult were often some of the best people who were there for me during my own struggles. So don't underestimate their value. Difficult people can surprise you. I'd also say this: difficult people can help you grow. Difficult people can help you grow. Not only will they surprise you, but they can help you grow. You don't grow stronger by lifting nothing. You get stronger by resistance and by having to deal with resistance and repetition. This is how bodybuilders build muscle. They lift heavy things over and over and over and over again. And difficult people are not just a means of God stretching your faith. They're also a means of you growing in your understanding of God's grace towards you and the grace that He expects of you towards others. And so difficult people can help you grow. And last of all, and I can't emphasize this enough, difficult people can change. And you might be the reason that they change. Like I said at the beginning, with kind of some of the premise to some of this is that everyone is difficult sometimes, and some people are difficult, you know, most of the time. But difficult people can change, and they can grow, and God may be using you to help them grow through some of their difficulties as well. There may be some reasons and some roots behind the things that annoy you about them, and maybe by you being gracious to them, God will give you an opportunity to speak into their life and for them to share things about you that they wouldn't have shared with anybody else, because all anybody else sees in them is a difficult person who annoys them, but they don't understand the reason they're annoying and the thing that made them this way and why they're struggling. But by being gracious and by setting proper boundaries and by dealing with some of the things that we talked about today with them, you create opportunities for them to say, you know, you treat me better than most people. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't get me because I'm hard to deal with. And you would not believe how quickly some people will open up to you if you just show grace over time. Difficult people can surprise you. They help you grow and they can change. So don't just write them off. Don't just put them in a box and put a label on them. Oh, you're an EGR. Oh, you're difficult. And then forget about them or think that I'm never going to expect anything from them. Have room in your heart and room in your life to see God do something great in them and realize that He may be using you not just to grow yourself, but to grow them also. We're better together. So don't underestimate the difficult people in your life. Set proper expectations for them and for yourself. Set reasonable boundaries. Decide when and how you're going to address any grievances. And then don't underestimate their value. At the end of every episode, I'm going to offer a prayer for you. If you're not particularly spiritual or religious or have a different faith than I do, that's okay. Take this prayer as good vibes if you want to. It's just an important part of everything worthwhile in my life, and I like to offer that strength and encouragement to you at the end of each episode. God, as we deal with the difficult people in our lives, help us to realize that we are often difficult ourselves. Help us, God, to love them like you love us, and to be gracious with them as we would want others to be with us when we're difficult at times. God, I ask you to help us to have the wisdom to know when and how to have difficult conversations with somebody. And I pray that the result of that, God, would be that they grow closer to you and we grow closer to you at the same time. Bless us, use us, work through us, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Worthwhile Podcast is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/theworthwhilepodcast to make your monthly pledge. My name is John Markham. Thanks for listening.